I remember over the years finding some strange stories on the internet about things that people found while doing renovations in their houses. Some have found whole new rooms they didn't know were there. One story I read, somebody had broken through a wall and had discovered some remnants, not too creepy, but that a funeral parlor had been in the home some 100 years before. There are happy stories, too. Some people have found wads of cash. They have found rare coins, all when breaking down a wall or tearing up a floor. Strange things found during renovations. Incidentally, a cautionary tale, if you go to Google that, the first thing that at least came up for me was strange things found during a colonoscopy. I did not follow that link. I mention this, of course, because today we hear the story of King Josiah. We are now in the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel has already fallen to the Assyrians. Now, it's a strange time in the powers of the world, that history. The Assyrians, they're starting to witness a bit of a decline while the Babylonians are increasing in strength. We are about 630 BC. So Josiah, he comes to be king at a very early age, but it takes a couple of years. Eventually, though, he shows that he is an upright and righteous king. The last few weeks, I've talked about God being a tragic figure in the Bible who constantly gets God's heart broken. Well, there are those, of course, in whose actions God takes delight. And Josiah is said to be a wonderful man of God, a king that makes God's heart proud. We are told Josiah veers neither left nor right, instead stays on the path that God has set for him. So he orders that the temple of God in Jerusalem, should be renovated, fixed up, put back to a central place in the people's minds, in their religious understanding of who God has called them to be. And so he gathers together, or he orders the gathering together of the silver that they might fund this renovation project. And lo and behold, somebody finds something strange during the renovation. It is a book, or more likely a scroll, the Word of God. The Torah is found. Now, we don't know exactly what section of Old Testament scripture, of the Hebrew scriptures, was found. Many scholars think it was part of the book of Deuteronomy. Again, the law of God given to God's people. Well, this is presented to the king, and there is a bit of an anguished moment, the rending of cloth. Josiah sets out for a reformation. He orders that all of the vestiges of the worship of foreign gods be driven out, crushed, burned, smashed, that no one might be tempted to return to those ways. He reads again of the covenant that God has made with God's people throughout the generations before his, and he re-ups. Josiah says, we will again be a people of the covenant that God has made for us. Now, politically, this puts him in a very precarious position with Assyria. They are under threat of invasion. They are a bit of a puppet state at this point. And to smash, to burn, and to otherwise throw away all vestiges of Assyrians' god and religious practices is akin to poking the bear. Things go along for a while. They're fine. The people do return to the sense of the covenant. But eventually Assyria has Josiah assassinated. And it is not too long after that, the very beginning part of the 6th century BC, that Babylon has risen to full power. Assyria is vanquished, but so is Judah and Jerusalem. Scholars put this date around 586, 587 BC. Again, a very important part in the history of God's people. The people that God created, the people that God sustained, the people that God liberated, the people that God gifted with land and numerous descendants, God's plans seemed to be dashed. The kingdom of Israel had already fallen, and now the kingdom of Judah along with it. The last, perhaps, kings of Israel. Struck while reading this text, this interesting line, notice that Josiah veered neither left nor right, but stayed on the path that God set. That is a phrase that repeats itself throughout the books of the law. That people are called to follow God's way and not the ways of the world. Stay on the path that God has set. And the Psalms remind us that the way that God has set is the way of life. Any other way leads to death. Left or right. No, stay on the path that God has set. Now, I think if we're honest, that is easier said than done, not only because God's ways tend not to be our ways and we revert back to our own ways when we get a chance, but there's also this understanding that somehow we can find out exactly God's way. I find that to be a challenge. There are some markers along the way, of course. I'm struck by the end of our psalm today. God is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Hebrew word for that is the wonderful word hesed. God's hesed. Well, if God is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, so too should God's people be. Perhaps to stay on the road and veer neither left nor right means to be gracious and compassionate. To be patient, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Of course, Jesus is asked at one point to sum up the law, love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. But again, I think it's easier said than done. For what does that mean exactly? Well, I think it falls on God's people to study the Word, to hold the Word near and dear, but also to be aware that the Word, from time to time, takes some reinterpretation, given the context in which we find ourselves and are called to live faithfully. On a personal note, if I hear one more person say, the Bible says it, end of story, I'm going to pull all my hair out. It is never that simple. It always takes a conversation in faith, a conversation in grace and compassion to look at the other side's point of view, patient and steadfast in love. Now, it's interesting, too, I think, in our context, neither left nor right is a colloquialism that is ancient. It does not speak to our current two-party system. This is not a don't be this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle, walk down the middle, because, frankly, compromise is not always the best path forward. There are times when people are wrong, and the Word of God needs to shine light and show the ways of error, but also keep a light on the true path. And so we hear of Josiah. We are aware of our Lutheran inheritance in the history of the church, and that we are a church that is always reforming. I think that means, basically, we are a church that is willing to have the difficult conversations and to do so in love. It's not easy, but it is the path to which we are called in order to stay on God's path. So we find ourselves in a part of text where Jerusalem has fallen. The last of the kings of Israel are now a part of history. But we do celebrate Christ the King today. We understand that God knows our pain and our difficulty with understanding all the ways that we are to stay on the road. And so, of course, God becomes human in the person of Jesus Christ and models for us what it means to stay on that path, come what may. It's not always easy. Josiah found that out, and Jesus as well, suffering death on the cross. And while it is difficult to know the Word of God in the written form, we are reminded today that while Josiah found the Word, Jesus Christ is the Word. The message of God's unconditional love forever for us, expressed in the person of Jesus, whose kingdom is coming. And one day we'll be here in its fullness. I always struggle a bit with Christ the King Sunday because it really starts to get into themes of Advent. And we have 4 weeks of that coming up. But today we sit in this perhaps difficult place with Josiah. We hear the Word of God, the call to stay on the narrow path, speak together of God's unconditional, compassionate, steadfast love, and continue to pray for Christ to show us that way. Amen.